Chapter 25. A Way Out of Darkness. With Jaren in tow, the Shalane returned to the room where Jen and Aethrys rested. She peeked through the crack in the door, finding that her mother still sat at Jen's side, absent-mindedly tracing the pronounced muscles on his arm and humming sadly to herself. The acolytes, having done what they could, had gone to meditate and pray. The Shalane ordered Jaren to stay with Cadean outside the door.
Mother,
she said quietly, door creaking as she pushed it open. Mirel startled, turning toward her daughter, embarrassment rising on her face.
How does he fare?
The Shalane asked, navigating away from the awkward moment.
No better,
Mirel replied, turning back to Jen, face drawn.
Aethrys improves with each passing hour. Jen, if anything, gets worse.
The Shalane felt as if someone had punched her in the stomach. She joined her mother at Jen's bedside, taking her hand.
Are you all right, mother?
Mirel managed a weak smile.
No, I don't think I am. If the truth be known, I've been quite taken by this young man. Mother! Hush, child, I know my place. But you cannot blame me, you of all people, for loving him. For hours I sat in front of the walls, peering out at the street, watching lovers go by hand in hand. And there I was, year after year, hoping that the Ha'ulric could be found, and I be wedded to the greatest, most noble man to walk Kihol. Instead, my 17th year comes, and after a brief, horrible week with some lucky, beautiful man whose name I was not permitted to know, I was left to live the rest of my life forbidden to love until the return of Eldaloth. It was only your birth and raising you that gave me the sense that I was the first mother, and not a cow.
The Shalane nodded.
I feel my life will be little different, save I shall know the name of the bull. I know, and I worry about you every day. I hid the truth of Shatan's character from you for as long as I could, to at least permit you pleasant dreams. You may not thank me for it, but I couldn't bear to see your hopes dashed so young. Your veil keeps others from seeing your sorrow, but I am your mother, and nothing is hidden from me.
The Shalane squeezed her mother's hand, finding her tenderly regarding Jen's face.
When did you know you loved him, mother? How did you know?
Mirel smiled.
I knew when I saw him step to the dais after ordering Shatan to let you go. I trembled, and not from fear. We have no kings in Rugoth, but if you ever wonder what one is like, then remember him on that night. Brave, powerful, commanding, a judge of all. You have no idea of the agony I felt as I watched Shatan force you toward the door, and I doubt you could understand the thrill of seeing you freed and watching Jen, calm as a summer's morning, behead that monster and return to stand with the rest of the dumbstruck apprentices, bleeding all over the place, as if nothing had happened.
Mother and daughter shared a quiet laugh.
Yes, the Shalane continued in a light-hearted tone. He seems so intent on not being noticed, or showing even the tiniest bit of emotion. He hasn't done very well at the not being noticed part. His emotions, however, he hides well. That is annoying, isn't it? I took him to my apartments directly after the duel. Mother! Calm yourself. You and Cadean have overactive imaginations. I took him to my room to talk to him, and to test him. When you listen to him, there is something about him that feels old. Every time I have been in his presence, I feel at peace in some inexplicable way. Have you talked with him much? I rarely see him since he is the night watch. When I do see him, I usually find myself stumbling for something to say, and he says practically nothing. Still, now that I think of it, I have felt safer knowing he is outside my door. Until recently, I thought him nothing more than another fine swordsman, but I see now that there is more. He has humbled me. I don't think it is his wisdom or his skill, but an inner strength I don't think is breakable. There is a deep sadness somewhere in his heart, though.
Mirel regarded her questioningly, and the Shalane explained what had happened in the library as she, Fenner, and Jaren watched him sleep.
He has suffered more than should be endured by anyone, Mirel said. If he lives, we should work some way that Fenner can spend more time with him. I can see she cares for him a great deal. I hope he will return her affection.
So does she,
I like him too, and I'm sorry if it ever seemed otherwise.
Fair enough.
When I named him your protector, it was political suicide, though his actions have since vindicated my decision tenfold. I worried you would be angry over losing Dacen. I know he made you laugh. Jen probably won't make you smile much, though if he should live and may Eldaloth grant that he does, you must speak with him. As I told Maywen, he is wise and well-spoken. I think you would find comfort in his words. If Fenna can't figure out how to talk to him, I doubt I will have much success either. I've little experience talking with people in general, much less someone as closed as Jen. It took no effort to get Dacen to ramble on about anything. I think the key, my daughter, is to ask questions that begin with why, and imagine him with a mug of ale in his hand, dancing and singing on a table.
The Shalane smiled at the image, finding it hard to conjure up.
Merel took Jen's fevered hand in hers.
I have so many things I would like to ask him, some that I'm afraid to.
The scars?
Yes. And perhaps how old he really is. If he somehow has elven blood in him and is older than me, then Fenna might have some competition after all.
The First Mother smiled, and the Shalane knew she was joking. At least she thought so. They sat in silence for a while, listening to his laboured breathing.
Would you have me love him as you do, Mother?
Mother fixed her eyes on her daughter, trying to penetrate the veil.
Of course not. But I would have you love something, Shalane. Jen's training taught him to submerge his feelings, to ignore pain. I fear, however, that it also robbed him of the ability to feel pleasure, or to truly serve anything except duty and abstract ideals. When I think back to him facing the demon, cowering though I was, I see someone all too willing to throw everything away, someone who didn't love life enough to even attempt to survive. I see someone who doesn't even seem alive enough to accept the affection of a beautiful young woman, attention most men can only dream about.
He is utterly confused, poor Fenna. My point is this, daughter. Before us lies a man, and a great one, slipping away because when the night is gone, he can no longer feel the warmth of the sunshine on his face. And since meeting Shatan, you have become much the same.
Merel paused, letting the thought sink in.
Find something. Anything you can love and anchor yourself to it. It will bring you joy when the rest of the world seems cruel and unfair. And I can think of nothing more cruel and more unfair than seeing you wed Shatan. You were the anchor for me, Shalane. You brought me happiness, and I want that same happiness for you. Thank you, Mother.
Mother and daughter embraced, and Merel rose.
Do not stay too long, Shalane. You need your rest, too. Jen will be none the better for us staring at him.
The First Mother left, closing the door behind her. The Shalane sat at Jen's side and thought about her mother's words. Jen muttered something unintelligible and was silent. Sweat matted his brown hair to his scalp. Several scars crisscrossed his forehead, and the Shalane reached out and pushed his hair aside to get a better view of them. They were even and straight, as if someone had been trying to make a pattern on his skin. With her finger she traced a scar that ran the length of his face, starting at his temple and ending on his neck. Feeling foolish, she pulled her finger away, glancing around to see if anyone had noticed her. Then it hit her. No one was watching her. No one could hold her back. Quickly, she placed her hand on his head and leaned near. Her awareness of the room faded as she bent her will toward finding Jen's injury. The light of his life burned low, and it took her some time to find it at all. But something was wrong, different from other times she had healed the wounded. She sensed that his body was perfectly intact, but still his life ebbed like a candle struggling to stay lit in a draughty room. She moved her concentration to Jen's mind, seeking to find if the poison had caused some madness there that she could heal, but as with the body she could sense nothing overtly amiss, although as before something just within the borders of her perception seemed off somehow. She returned to the life force and searched, trying to find what was extinguishing it, but while the feeling of wrongness persisted, it always lurked out of her grasp, like a memory half forgotten. The Shalane's hopes sunk, and in frustration, she did the only thing she knew to do.
She poured her energy into the dying ember, striving to spark it anew. The life force flowed from her, and as it did, she saw something, a darkness that clenched around Jen's life like the demon's black-mailed fist, crushing it. While her attempts at healing revealed it to her, nothing she did could break it. But her energy cast light upon the hidden force, and with another attempt she was able to follow the source of the darkness to Jen's mind. There, in her light, she saw what she could only think of as a door, a terrible door, from which rushed a river of black water. A sense of foreboding overcame her, and she shrank from it. For several moments she thought of breaking her contact, something about the darkness shouting at her to leave. The pure men's fear that something in Jen could harm her became horribly real. Whatever brooded beyond that door, whatever it was that was killing Jen, was powerful and alive, and she feared she could not overcome it. But as she lingered at that portal to the mind, lost in trepidation, she realized that what she faced was no different than what Jen had done for her in the chapel. Without hesitation, he threw himself in front of an enemy he knew would kill him, and for what? Because that was who he was, and it was his duty to do it. Skill at arms and courage were his gifts. And while she was to be the mother of God, she too had been given a gift, the gift to heal. She felt ashamed that she faltered because the way was fearful and dark, and before she could think of any more reasons to dissuade herself, she concentrated and ran headlong through the forbidding door and into a world of pain. At first she could do nothing but reel in the force of the dark torrent, floundering in swirling eddies of emotion, guilt, worthlessness, sadness, and despair. Like a fledgling swimmer she fought to stay above the powerful current while it relentlessly pulled her down. Her own feelings of depression and her sense of inadequacy began to weigh upon her. How could she be the mother of God when she was so ignorant, so simple? At once she loathed herself for ever thinking she was somehow above marrying Chotan. Who was she? Nothing. He was the Blessed One, and a wretch like her should be glad to even be of notice to him. And then it stopped. Quickly she took stock of herself, trying to forget the feelings and thoughts that had overwhelmed her. She was outside the door again. The current of darkness had expelled her and left her gasping on the threshold, undaunted. She readied herself again. She knew the enemy now, and again she plunged against the current and into Jen's mind. The dark feelings returned, but with effort she fought them off, concentrating on Jen and not allowing her thoughts to turn inward no matter how much her emotions begged for her attention. Struggling, she went deeper, searching, the sense of blackness deepening. There was a voice, faint at first, but as she pressed forward it became clear. It was smooth, persuasive, and powerful, and as it talked, images flashed before her to illustrate everything it said, images from Jen's life. And what was shown shook her to her very core. Jen's iron mask of stoicism obscured pain and remorse she could not fathom. The voice droned the same message and the same images over and over again while she watched, a silent audience. Dimly she could sense Jen's consciousness watching too, and it was from his consciousness that the darkness flowed, a flood that drowned his spirit. The dam had broken long ago, and the victory for the dark voice won.
"See, Jen," the voice intoned with unquestionable surety, "that your every effort is useless. I could have given you the power to stop the pain and suffering, but you would never listen. Rest assured that your failure to serve will only hurt you, for many already take your place. So now you are left powerless without me, struggling and unable to even claim something as easy as a girl. What business did an orphan have even thinking about a merchant's daughter? At least pathetic Hubert could give her a name worth a little more than filth. What did you have to give her?"
The Shalane could see her. A cute country girl with blonde hair. Regina. She could feel Jen's longing for her, his anger at her betrothal to Hubert. She could hear them talking at the well, and suddenly knew why Jen was so fair-spoken. In all her imaginings of Jen's past, she would have never thought him a bard.
"And how easily were your supposed feelings of love set aside?
You remember, don't you, how you let the Shaddan's training overtake you until you had no care for anyone or anything at all?
Flashes of Jen's training came in a rush, and the Shalane felt herself go weak. She would have turned away from the blood and agony if she could, but instead she felt forced to watch every wicked blow from day after day of misery. She watched with Jen as Ogmerian soldiers led people from his town away to be killed and thrown in nameless graves. She watched his torture, his silent suffering, his attempt to take his own life.
You ignored your old master and your love while they suffered and waited for just one kind word to fall from your lips. Was that your love for them? If it had been love at all, you would have never let your own suffering take you and ignore their need. Had you even one grain of healing, perhaps you could have at least helped them escape from Tell, but instead you did nothing. I ask you, did you ever think that you could have helped them escape without you, or did you just think of yourself?
A wave of intense guilt poured down the channel of darkness, and the Shalane had to fight away her own feelings of guilt as it passed. The scenes before her were so poignant and so private, she almost felt as if she should leave. But the healer within her impelled her to stay, made her watch in hopes that she could find some way to help Jen build his defense again, as he had done for her.
Then your feelings are suddenly resurrected when you see her in danger, the voice continued. And what good did it do?
The Shalane watched in horror, as Jen fought desperately to save Regina, only to fail. She felt his sense of inadequacy and uselessness. Never in her protected life had the Shalane seen such depravity, and inwardly she pitied Jen for the unfairness and for the mercy that never found him. The voice continued its cadence like a steady drumbeat of doom. She watched as Jen read the note from his beloved master explaining how he had killed himself so he could no longer be used to manipulate Jen. All the while the river deepened as Jen's spirit failed.
And so then you come by dumb luck into the service of the Shalane. Do you think she needs you, Jen? Were there not 100 soldiers for fodder before, and will there not be 1,000 after? Do you think you've redeemed yourself from Regina's blood because you saved the Shalane from Shatan's lust? What difference will it make? Whether she is forced to be with him now or later, she will be with him. She is his, after all. The only thing you've done is prolong the agony of her waiting for it to happen.
The Shalane felt anger within her rise, and yet something about the voice's words rang true. Her agony was there, her dread of Shatan growing daily. Had she not just told her mother the same? But the voice ignored what Jen had done, given her dignity. While she didn't doubt that Shatan would do his best to strip her of it if he could, she still had it, and would ever retain a portion of it. The voice told Jen nothing of the respect and goodness he had inspired, the web of hope that was spun at every telling of his bravery and honor. As the voice continued its parade of disparagement, the Shalane grew more and more incensed and indignant at its distortions, omissions, and exaggerations. Fear gripped her as she realized that Jen believed every word, ever eroding his will and snuffing out his life. Time was short, and in the darkness, she spoke. She wanted to say 100 things to express her sorrow and pity. She wanted to tell him of her saved dignity, of Fenner's love and devotion. She wanted him to know what he meant to those who knew him, but from the great mass of words, she could only find 3 to yell over and over in the darkness.
I need you!
At her cries, the voice ceased. And then the Shalane felt a presence, strong and evil, turn its attention toward her. What she thought was merely a part of Jen's mind was something else entirely, something awful beyond imagination. She felt its surprise at her presence, and though she could see no form, it saw her, grinning like a hunter who had at last cornered a fox after a long chase.
And see, Jen, the voice scorned him, that you will be the instrument of her doom after all. For here she has come in her pity for your wretchedness.
The Shalane felt something grip her and hold her fast, pulling her further into the darkness. She fought it, trying to pull and thrash her way back toward the door, but the force was too strong. She began to scream as she came closer to the void,
feeling the destruction that awaited her if she passed through. And then Aethrys was there. She couldn't see him, but she could feel him behind her, grasping for her. There were others as well, and she cried out to them, pulling away from the evil presence with every ounce of will she had left. She reached backward, feeling a pull come from the other direction. A fierce struggle ensued, and she felt herself nearly torn apart in the contest of wills. Just when she felt all was lost, the darkness was shut away, and the Shalane tumbled out of Jen's tortured mind. She opened her eyes. Aethrys, still in breeches from his convalescence, stood behind her with two pure men, all with their hands on her head. Sweat ran down his hairless body, and were it not for the pure men, he would have collapsed on the floor. Jaren, on seeing her awake, came to her side, face relieved. The Shalane felt dizzy and sick and needed Jaren's help to stand. The pure men helped Aethrys to a chair.
"Mikkik nearly struck a fatal blow this night," Aethrys said. "Foolish girl! Jaren, get her to her mother and have the pontiff examine her. Everyone leave. I need to be alone."
The Shalane leaned on Jaren and he guided her toward the door.
"Thank you, Aethrys," she said. "I thought I was lost."
"And so you were," Aethrys replied crankily. "But thank me not. It was Jen who shut Mikkik from his mind. Without that, we would have all been lost. Now go. No one is allowed in this room any more without my leave. I need to think."
The Shalane let Jaren lead her away toward her apartments. Pure men were dispatched to find the pontiff and her mother. All the while, she couldn't help but feel bitter about the irony. She had gone into Jen's mind to save him and had instead been rescued by him again. But Aethrys's belief that Jen had forced the evil presence from his mind gave her hope that perhaps his life would strengthen and return. Her mother was already at the apartments when she arrived, as was Fenna. Both frowned at her with worry as she came in and fell exhausted on her bed.
"What's wrong, dear?" her mother asked. "I tried to heal him, mother."
And at this she found herself unable to speak, as the memories of what she had seen and felt of Jen's life overwhelmed her. When she came to herself, tears ran unchecked down her face.
"It was awful, mother. Awful. The things he's been through are beyond anything I had imagined. The evil one himself came for him, sought to use him, and he rejected him to save me."
For several minutes, the Shalane was quite unconscious of anything, only aware of a mother and a friend who grieved with her. When the pontiff arrived, she gathered herself as best she could. He wore a simple black robe and held a staff tipped with a clear stone. The wrinkled face regarded her with concern.
"The Bior men told me what happened, Shalane. It is unfortunate that you ignored the counsel of my brethren and sought to heal him. It is obvious that the demon opened a way for the Dark One to war with Jen's mind. It is fortunate he had the strength to close the link when you were threatened. An act of saintly virtue indeed. And while you may have inadvertently saved his life, you must realize that you cannot take such chances. You are part of the salvation of this world, and no one, not even a faithful soldier like Jen, is worth throwing the world away."
The Shalane nodded and held to her mother's hand, though she still felt no guilt over her attempt to save her protector. The pontiff exhaled and extended his hand to indicate she should sit in a nearby chair.
"Now I must ensure that no taint of the evil one remains within you. The enemy has many tricks."
The pontiff laid a wrinkled hand upon her head and chanted softly for nearly an hour. When he was done, he leaned heavily upon his staff.
"It appears you escaped harm, except a deep sadness which I feel upon you. A sadness, though, is not evil unless it overwhelms us. While it may seem hollow, child, be of good cheer. You have many that care for you and a great destiny that lies ahead of you."
After a short silence, the pontiff shuffled toward the door, turning before going out.
"We shall have the betrothal in 2 days. We can no longer afford to wait. Our enemy is clever, and all the guards and walls have done little thus far to keep out the danger. I shall summon the Council of Padras to come to help protect you during the winter. Sleep well."
As the pontiff left, Jaren and Captain Tolbrook poked their heads in.
"Is she well?"
Jaren asked.
"She is fine, Jaren. Close the door, please,"
her mother ordered. Once they were alone, the First Mother removed the Shalane's veil, placing it in the armoire with the others. Tenderly she combed her daughter's hair while Fenner wiped away her tears and stroked her arm. Gradually the Shalane felt the sadness fade, turning into a dull ache. She felt worn. Mirel rubbed the Shalane's cheek.
"We will go, my daughter, and let you rest. Please stay with me tonight," the Shalane begged. "There is a story I need to tell you both, about Jen."
The First Mother and the handmaiden sat on the bed where the Shalane lay and listened as she began.
"Where Jen lived, in Tell, there was a girl. Her name was Regina.